Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now. Your inside look at local motorsports, live from Las Vegas.
You're good.
You're good. Okay.
You're good. I can hear you.
I want to be sure. So. Welcome to the show.
We don't care if Gary can't hear.
May 22nd? Dang. 2018.
Is it the 22nd? Oh, yeah. It is the 22nd.
It is. So, welcome to the show. I couldn't hear myself, so I wasn't sure if the mic was on. Yeah, I can.
No, it was loud.
I think it's a bad thing. You know how it is, like, you don't like hearing yourself. You guys talk to yourself. Sorry, Doc. I don't like what I say to myself, no. But anyways.
I'm the only one that gets the correct answers.
Ellie, yeah.
You talk to yourself a lot?
Yes, I do.
He's the only one that
I wouldn't admit to that one.
He's the only one that listens to himself. You guys don't listen
no,
to him.
No, you mean I'm the only one that listens.
Period. Oh, man. Hey, another hot day, but not too bad this week. We can enjoy it for another week, right, Justin?
Oh, yeah.
Wait till official start of summer.
It's already miserable.
Yeah, well, I can see your tan going on. You look...
I got the farmer's tan.
You got the farmer's tan. You're looking pretty dark.
Trying to look like you.
You look darker than me. Sheesh.
So I take off my shirt and it looks like I'm still wearing a shirt.
Yeah, that's like me. So, hosting tonight along with myself. Still trying to think of something for you. I haven't figured it out.
I prefer Justin.
Justin. Just Justin.
Patrick.
Okay. Just Justin Griffiths.
Patrick.
With an S, by the way.
Patrick.
How you doing, Michael?
Good, good, good. You don't like Patrick, huh?
Never been a fan of that.
No. One of these days, we'll put it out there what that's from.
I'd rather you not.
I don't know. I'm gonna play dumb on this one, but also hosting tonight. the man on a mission, Mr. Gary Wyatt.
How you guys doing?
Well, how you doing, man?
Just working.
We'll call him, he's the doodle man.
Working.
Seriously, that's about the...
Well, we didn't have no racing to talk about, so, I mean, he can doodle this week.
It's doodle week, so we'll do a doodle contest. We'll let Gary judge it.
I don't have no more paper.
That's a portable doodle there. Right now, Well, we take paper donations.
So. And pins, because I wore this one out. Oh, look at this.
Hey, when you were, this would date you if you do remember this, but back when you were a young teenager, did you, like, get those felt posters where you would color in the paper areas and then they would glow, like, under black light and stuff
I'm
like that?
I'm not that old and I had one of those.
Oh, did you?
The only one I think I ever did was a Jeff Gordon one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think I might still have it laying around in storage somewhere.
See, back in my time, it was just psychedelic shapes.
way back.
How many drugs were you on that day?
Maybe it wasn't Jeff Gordon. It just looked psychedelic to me. But yeah, you're right. No racing this. Well, there was racing this past weekend somewhere. I mean, do you watch NASCAR? Or
yes, I do.
Did you watch any NASCAR? Was there any NASCAR
races
on?
All-star
race, huh?
They did it different this year. They had a restrictor plate on the cars at Charlotte.
Oh.
It was a little different. I mean, it was definitely more like bumper-to-bumper racing. It Kevin Harvick still dominated, but it was a lot more.
Was there a lot of bump drafting going on?
Oh, yeah. That's what kept getting them back to the front. And there was more lead changes in that 80 laps than I think there would be next week in the Coke 600.
So I guess that would be the bull ring's equivalent to the bomber races out there with the breakout race. So, but we don't see that anymore.
I mean, like Kyle Larson said in his interview, he was like, I wouldn't want to go this slow every week, but it was fun to race door to door.
Right.
Until he got wrecked.
Then it's not. Then nobody likes it anymore, right? It's fun until you get wrecked, and it's like, yeah, this kind of racing sucks.
That's JJ. JJ got beat up pretty bad in the breakout race.
Yeah, but he was running up front, so that's why he got beat up.
That's when he got straight up dumped.
And that's what you want. You don't want to see people get dumped, but you want to see a mix of different drivers running up front.
I still say I love that race. That breakout race is so much fun.
To me, honestly,
and I drive a bomber.
To me, as a spectator, is one of the more exciting races that I've seen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, nobody.
Did you ever race in one?
Not a.
Mikey did, didn't he?
Yeah, Mike did. Yeah.
Mike always came up to me and was like, "You were really good at these races." I was like, "Yeah, because I got a 20-second car, so I can go full blast."
Right. Well, you know, and typically, I guess that 20-second was a good kind of.
Middle
point for a lot of drivers and stuff. I mean, now they might have to change it to a 19.1 second break after
18.8.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Maybe they should put all the bomber drivers on 970 tires. It'd make the tire part of it equal. They're going street stock anyways,
yep.
Right?
Well, so, no. You mean the gone street stock anyway.
Well, not that the rules allow it all the time, but it just seems like, you know, the bombers aren't the bombers like they used to be. Back in the day, like JJ's always talks about, it originated kind of more of a rolling demolition derby, but then as guys put time and money into it, obviously.
I don't want to go back to the wet track race and all that.
Yeah.
I don't want to go back to all that where, you know, it was on purpose. You just destroy your car. I don't want to go back to that, but I would like to go back to like 2009, 2010 when it was a lot more fun.
I like seeing the big Cadillacs and the big wheelbase
in
cars out there. And it still had to be somewhat competitive.
Yeah, in like 2009, 2010, Scott Castle was still racing out there in the S810, that big-ass black Cadillac. That's when the Sherrard boys were out there and all that.
So. And I like the rule, if you came out with a station wagon, you would automatically start up front.
Yep.
Well, you had a station wagon, didn't you, Gary?
Yes.
But that was after they allowed the station wagons to start up front. But, I like those days.
I miss back then.
But, you know, I guess some of those days are gone. They ran 7-inch rims early on. You know, nothing
that was
bigger.
Way back. I mean, since I've been racing, the rules... My car is pretty much stock from when I started racing it. So,
you know, I'm trying to think of different ways to just take one more thing out of the picture. I know some of the guys that are already fast might even get faster with a 970, but so would everybody else, and it would kind of make it more equal. And a 970 tire is a solid tire. It'll last probably all season, especially in a bomber division. They might race 2-3 seasons out of the one tire, and they can get takeoffs off super stock guys and
shit. I remember, like, I think it was Jason Solon. Don't mark my word on that, but I believe it was Jason Solon jumped in his bomber, put 970s mm-hmm. on it, and he ran the fastest he's ever ran. I think he broke into like the 19.2s, 19.1s.
Right.
I was like, see,
that was the guy in the pink 31 car.
No, yeah. It wasn't Ham. It was
Doug Ham. Well,
no,
Doug.
Rich Ham did it once, but then he also did it for the super stock. Because he went back into lineup and lined up with the super stocks and went and raced the super stock race that night.
Hmm.
In the same in his bomber, which was 970 on it.
Oh, wow.
So that was just I think he just wanted more racing time, which I don't blame him.
If they allow it, why not?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you run it in there? If you get a bunch of bomber guys running in the back of the super stocks, you have your own fun race going on.
Exactly.
And you might have, you know, the top. They do it anyways in the bomber division now, so what's the difference?
I mean, a few years ago, me, Kayla Bronston, Tony Rieger, everybody, Jerry Pearson, we were all in the, you know, the back of the pack, and we had more fun racing each other because that whole group that I raced with, Scott Bradbury and Billy Hearn, were also involved in that. We all didn't want to wreck our cars. We were there because we wanted to go race and we wanted to have fun, and we were all close enough friends that we knew, hey, you don't hit me, I won't hit you.
Right.
And I think we went the whole year, never touched each other. So I miss those days.
Maybe they should do something like if you run more than three races faster than an average of something like 19.2, 19.3, then they race their own outlaw bomber division. Everybody else races the regular bomber division, so everybody gets a chance
A couple years back, they did the heat races, and they did it by speed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was more fun to me because
right. You
actually had a chance to win something if you weren't putting the thousands and thousands of dollars into your car,
right,
and you were just on a low budget and you just wanted to go out there race.
Well, I mean, when you say bomber, that's what
low
budget supposed to be is a.
I mean, there's no such thing as low budget racing anymore. All racing has gotten. You're still going to spend money. It's just
sure.
You're not going to spend what you spend in the modified. Right.
And you got to have the separation between the divisions because everybody's budget is different, regardless.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, you jump
into
one type of racing, maybe you fit in the skid plate if you. Have sponsors or not, and you fit into a bomber or a super stock area, you know. So it's good to have those divisions separated like that with a stock car division. You know, you always got your other spec type divisions and stuff like that, but as far as stock car racing goes. But, you know, it's the same thing, though. You always have the ones that seem to walk away with it and not everybody that walks away with it's cheating either.
I mean, if you ask certain people, there's a certain purple and black and silver car that actually ruined the bomber division before Pete Myers did.
Back in the day.
Back in 2000.
Were they winning all the
2005?
Were they winning all the time?
Yeah.
Here's the way that a problem.
So that's not everybody that.
I was told by a couple people on that, and I was like, "See, I don't agree with that because back then bombers were still bombers."
But regardless, we're gonna assume that all winners aren't all cheaters. But when you hear, not knowing that person back in the day, you probably heard everybody was talking that. Doing this and this, right? Because everybody thinks the person running up front's always cheating, and that's not always the case.
I'll throw it out there. Even when Gary was, winning, and he won the championship.
Were you talking about Gary?
I wasn't sure. They were still bombers back then.
Right.
He wasn't spending.
Regardless of what you want to say, the person running up front isn't always cheating.
I mean, look, Martin Solomon.
I'm getting a look that I've never seen before.
I've seen that look a lot.
Oh, you used to.
Look, Martin Solomon won the championship in 2014, and he's not a high budget car, but he was there every week, and a couple people had dropped out, and he.
Well, and he's always
pushing
his car past its limits. You
know what? I will tell you something.
Here we go.
What's up?
The motor that I had in my 2005 championship car cost me $2,000.
My point exactly.
And
right.
I didn't want to spend that money.
Oh, yeah, and that's a lot.
Type of money.
Sure.
And this was back in 2004.
Right.
So I won the championship on a $2,000 motor. Of course, I changed oil and all that stuff and kept it maintenance. But that's what the motor costed me.
Right. Well, when you have a stock class, even though you're running the RPMs up and all that, the bombers have a gear rule and all that.
Yep.
So you're not really high revving. Well, you shouldn't be really revving the motors up that high. They should last.
Yes.
They should be solid motors. I know Adam Simon had come up and asked us with Mike's car. He said, that's not the same car. That's not the same motor. It's the same thing as we got it. And as far as I know, nothing's been changed over time except for oil and things like that.
He had it, Dittman had it. So
right.
Unless Dittman changed something.
Yeah, which I don't think, and not that it was a you know, first place car, but it was, you know, it ran decent.
I mean, Billy Grassley jumped in that car
right.
when Dittman had it, and he drove it to the front.
Right.
Until the throttle broke.
Yeah.
I mean, it was definitely always a fast car.
Yeah. So,
and it originated from Roland Pelletier, I believe.
Yes.
Was the original builder of that
right.
car.
Well, you know, whatever anybody has to do with their car to make it fast is smack the wall or flip it upside down on its top.
And that car has every single
yeah.
one of those.
You know, if you do that, it'll twist the metal the way it needs to be faster.
It's
more aerodynamic.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Kevin owned that car, too. Kevin
yep.
Terrell.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Terrell, yep. Kevin Terrell.
So.
What's Kevin Terrell up to? Is he in town still or what?
I have no clue.
No. I was just curious, yeah. I don't see him out at the track.
He was there last race.
Oh, really?
He was there last race.
Oh, I was
helping Aaron McMorrin. Aaron McMorrin and him are like that, so.
Yeah.
And he was out there
cool.
associating himself with them, so.
No, so, I mean, just my point is being, you know, even you have people that do cheat in
no one cheats.
Different classes, and I'm not just pointing out bombers in all the different classes that aren't running up front, you know, but these are guys that are either experimenting to try to get up front or just
like to
go against the grain, you know.
I mean, but like you said, that could be in any class.
Right.
They probably do it in the super late.
They do it in every class, I guarantee it.
Well, we don't know about that because we don't race
well,
super late.
Just like back in the Legends, this was a few years back, quite a few years back, though, and I didn't ever race Legends or anything, but a guy I knew got into the Legends, and then some of the guys he started associating with were helping him get into different ways that they were fast, so he'd start doing things. Some of it's, you know, cutting tires certain ways and tweaking certain things.
In those classes,
so,
it's harder to cheat, but it still happens, like the Legends and the Thunder Roadsters.
And I'm talking about all the way down to the Bandoleros, the parents making these cars fast against the rules.
I don't know
for
anybody.
Their little kids.
I don't know anyone that had two sons in there that got DQ'd more than anybody else.
Now, if you do ask those drivers
they know
why
nothing.
Their car's fast, they do know nothing because they're little kids. But when you ask an adult driver, I'm sure they know something. Hey, I don't know.
Nope.
This car is wickedly fast. I don't know why.
But I just drive it fast.
I just drive it.
There was a Thunder Roadster 2-3 years ago. Ian Anderson drove it, the 21 car.
Yep.
That car was way, way, way too fast to be in a spec
mm-hmm.
division.
Yeah, that,
I promise you there was more than just driver in that. I mean, there were some good drivers in that division.
Are you saying that because you just didn't like his victory circle dance?
I actually forgot about that until you mentioned that. That was another reason.
I thought you had nightmares about that. No, I'm just kidding. Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know those cars, but...
I mean, it's
possible he may have stretched some rules.
I associated myself with those cars for a couple of years when I was helping David Brandon,
right,
and Doug Germano and all them guys, and you can definitely see there was.
Are they still out there cutting tires certain ways and stuff like that?
That I don't know about. I mean, I've never actually.
I mean, if they want to be fast, then you have to. You know, you got to get a tire cutting machine. I mean, you ask even in the super late models, way back in the day. Going back in the day of Spilsbury and them guys, they were doing tire things.
Yeah.
Well,
I won't say what they,
yeah,
but
like
they were
running,
doing
running
tires.
Who were tires?
Well, on that note, if anyone wants to call in and talk about cheating or talk about your sponsors, give us a call at 702-485-4699.
If you want to call somebody out, what
if you
want to
call someone out, you think we do that enough around here?
Yeah, Justin does that enough. But we just blame it on Michael Miller anyway. So
that's right. It's all Michael Miller's fault.
But,
it's his fault. He don't even know it's his fault.
He doesn't need to know it's his fault.
He claimed he was going to make a shirt that said it's not all my fault. Or it's not Mike Miller's fault or something like that. When he was in the show, he kept saying, I'm going to clear my name, and he never did. So maybe...
Trust me, it's Michael Miller's fault.
Maybe he understood it was his fault.
Well, it's the first one that says it's not their fault, it's probably their fault.
Yes. Absolutely.
But speaking of that, you were one of the guys that were cheating, Justin. correct? And not running first place.
Exactly.
So okay, I'm not saying on purpose, but it. You're talking about a budget issue that you, if you go out, like some of it is ignorance. Not that you're ignorant in that sense. I'm talking about not knowing if you buy a motor package or something like that. Maybe you don't know a certain type of motor heads or something are, you know, illegal. Maybe you put it in thinking, hey, you're all good, until you find out later that, hey, these probably aren't legal.
It just took Tech 2 years to figure out.
Just because it took them 2 years doesn't mean it's okay for forever, because they didn't catch something for 2 years, does it?
Isn't there
a clause like after 1 year it's automatically allowed in the rules? I don't think it works like that.
The issue with that whole thing is I was running the exact same motor that I know three other people were running.
Oh my Lord.
Because one person got butt hurt and had personal issues with me outside of racing.
Well,
if
you weren't doing anything outside the rules, you wouldn't have nothing to worry about. Isn't that what most people say is the problem? Like, well, if you have nothing to worry about, then what's the problem?
I would still get my ass handed to me with my illegal motor.
Well, and, you know, obviously, what we're talking about, like, you running Vortec heads,
and
they weren't allowed. I don't think they still are allowed on bombers, are they? There should be zero Vortec heads out at the bull ring on any bomber, correct?
You're right. There should be.
I know someone that still has the exact same motor I had.
Now, and some of that, like you said, is either if somebody's mad at you or the position you run in. Because if you're not running top five, you're not getting teched every night.
I was running 23rd.
Do they still do like a top five in a random number from fourth to anybody?
It's not top five anymore. It's top
back
three.
Back in the day, they used to do...
Them tech guys been busy in there. They went from five to three.
Wow. They used to do that. Do you remember they used to do a random?
Yeah,
you know,
it's always been five and one.
And one random. Right?
It was funny. The night I got DQ'd from my head, I think I finished like 23rd out of like 27 cars. And the next thing I know, over the radar, here, 42, you're going to tech.
Right.
I'm like, what the fuck did I do?
Well, it was a protest and not necessarily a tech issue that they caught.
No, there was a crybaby little.
Right. So it was a protest, or, you know.
He didn't protest it. He just went and cried and whined and got his way.
The squeaky wheel always gets the oil.
Somebody got the oil, all right. But, you know, and I'm not, you know.
I'm going to shut my mouth on that one.
Now, when you switch to the rule, the heads that are within the rules, did it change anything?
Yeah, you started running sixth and fifth.
Right.
And
well,
seventh.
Now, that brings up a good point. So it wasn't necessarily the change you made or anything, but you got hooked up with more setup after that. You hooked up with JC Motorsports and stuff like that, I think.
I don't associate with
that. But, you know, so it's not all.
You want to know what the issue with this whole thing was?
What? What's that?
Is I was fine until I joined JC Motorsports.
Well, no.
And when Gary and JJ's pitcher is in the tech room.
But see, that's the
on
calm.
The wall,
that's always a little calm before the storm. You gotta take some of the heat before you can kind of smooth things out.
And it was because of JC Motorsports. My roll cage was illegal one night too.
What was illegal on your roll cage?
Gary's an asshole.
The metal wasn't thick enough.
Are you serious?
No, they played a prank on me and Tim went around along with it.
That's funny.
And I was told before the race, don't say a word, just shut your fucking mouth, and come get me. So. Someone's an asshole. Let me just.
So for one night, he thought he wasn't going to race because of a illegal.
Well, he, as you know, Justin don't do it a whole lot.
Yeah.
Okay. He over there running his mouth, you know, just letting it flap him
right
in. So JJ and I set it up that. Mr. Richter was going to find something.
That's funny.
And it was probably 25 minutes And I still remember seeing Justin sitting in his truck crying.
I definitely was not crying.
Because he couldn't race.
That's funny.
And then...
did he say anything? Come back and say, what the hell?
Oh, he wouldn't talk to nobody.
Oh, wow.
He looked like
how it went
he
down?
Looked like a bowling ball going through the pins. He just darted right through everybody.
Went straight to his truck with a tissue.
Uh-huh. Victor wouldn't let him race, and he wasn't happy whatsoever, because I believe it was if he didn't race, it was going to put him way down
the points.
In points. And so we taught him to run his mouth,
and that was the weekend before I totaled my car.
No way.
That was the weekend before July 3rd.
So. Richter told him that the cage was not
stopped.
It had a crack
095.
In it.
Oh, is that
no,
what
it had a crack in it.
That's funny.
And I was like, but we ain't got a fucking welder here. And I see Gary standing over there. He's talking to Nick Nusitelli. And I remember Gary's words was, shut your fucking mouth. Don't say
Wait,
a word. Don't
well,
say a word.
First of all, you've been hanging out with sheet metal guys this last week? Because you got the F-bomb going all night here tonight.
It's a family show. But.
Typically, it's because of the sheet metal guys you hang out with. So, anyways, so what happened?
And I remember Gary just looking over there, and he's staring at me. I'm like, Gary. And he just kept on talking. But Gary don't talk a whole lot. But Gary just kept on talking.
Me and Nick Nusitelli was talking Ford stuff. What the hell are you saying about the Chevy?
We get Ford guys together, right?
That's right.
You got to talk.
We're talking about how many parts broke this week.
We're still talking about Fords.
It broke the pen.
That's funny. I didn't know that. I didn't hear that story.
And then I knew what he was running over to me for, so I kind of...
Yeah,
kind
of
my back.
Yeah, back.
We're still talking to Nusitelli.
Said, we'll get to you, Justin.
Uh-huh.
Hang tight. Hold on. I'm talking.
And then I said, what's going on? And he is jumping up and down, waving his arms. Man.
I can't wait.
Oh, man. Let me tell you. I said, why are you so... just calm down a little bit. And he was just... Oh, man.
That's funny.
Oh, and then I walked over and talked to Tim, and he's still jumping up and down. I was like, wow. So then I told Tim, hey, if I got to go home and get my welder, I got to go home and get my welder. And he was like, nah, you need a little more than just a welder on this. And he started jumping up and
more. You didn't start cussing out tech people, did you?
He kicked the dirt all the way to his truck.
It's like,
I've only flipped the tech guy off one time.
Oh, see.
Roy McClure don't count. I've flipped Roy off every time I go on the track.
That's
because
you know him, yeah. That's funny.
Oh, yeah, we had that boy going.
So when did you find out it was...
About 25 minutes after.
You should have waited until just before it was race time.
And then Tim called him to the tech barn, and Tim had some papers.
Oh.
Like he was going to show him in the rules
where
it says.
Oh, that's funny.
And
it said Gary put me up to it or something like that was one of the rules.
That's funny.
I was like, you're the asshole.
So you did take a minute to realize.
No.
I wish you had it on video.
Oh, no.
That'd be a good video.
If you were standing at the... He could have blew the roof off that man. He was off that tech barn. He was mad.
I remember the week after that, Richter walked up to me and was like, I hope you're not mad at me. I was like, you're the asshole that did it. Like, you went through it.
That's funny shit.
He don't talk shit much.
Not anymore. Because it could happen anytime.
That's right.
Watch somebody come up and go, no, this is a joke.
Uh-huh.
You guys are lying.
And then they're going to be serious.
They're going to be serious, right? And be like, no, I'm racing. I don't care what you guys are. I'm racing.
You don't hang out with JC Motorsports.
Oh, man.
That's because you don't know how to have fun. That's why you don't like hanging out with us.
Unfortunately, I'm still here.
If you didn't have a guilty conscience, you wouldn't have felt so bad that night.
I couldn't quit laughing.
Well, I don't know how you guys kept a straight face.
Oh.
We didn't.
Oh, no. You thought they were laughing at
JJ
you. That's kind of funny.
JJ kept walking away because he kept laughing.
And you probably thought they were laughing at you because you couldn't race, thinking they're bigger a-holes than they were.
He kept a pretty straight face. Yeah. He went and talked to Richter like it was real. And he thought...
That's funny.
Asshole.
I didn't know that. That's a funny story.
Yeah. We got him good. We got him good. And,
Justin,
and,
you still tell him, hey, payback's a bitch.
You know, he got to get up way early in the morning to catch me. Trust me. But
it's okay. Tech already pissed him off in front by saying the fire signature.
See, Justin set that up. Yeah. So you guys are even now. No.
Far from even.
That's funny.
Far from even.
And that's probably not the first prank they've pranked you on.
No.
And it ain't going to be the last.
It ain't going to be the last, right?
And by the way, I still thank Tim for going along.
That
with
is
it.
So funny. I didn't know that story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got him good.
Oh, JJ had a couple good
congratulations.
Ones.
That was a good prank.
JJ had a couple good ones, even outside of racing. So they definitely keep me on my toes
but,
here.
But the JC Motorsports guys are bad guys. I wouldn't hang around with them guys.
I wouldn't.
Well, see, Justin's thinking is, what is it? What's the saying? Keep your
friends
closer, your enemies closer.
Exactly. Who needs enemies when I have friends like mine?
Oh, man.
But I love them guys.
They definitely. Oh, well. Hey, not much racing this past weekend, but there is some racing coming up this weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
From Valley Speedway.
A couple things before we go there. Go to the BomberNation.com website. Check it out. Click on the message boards and post stuff and put stuff for sale. You know, you have Facebook and all that, but still, that's a good meeting place to go to, you know, to sell stuff in a common area.
A lot of guys don't have Facebook, but I realize a lot of racers
really?
Don't have Facebook.
Yeah. Is that the older guys or a good mix?
Well, I know like Vern Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Who's up in Pahrump. He doesn't have a Facebook.
He can't hear it. That's the problem.
You're going to hell.
JJ don't have Facebook.
He's got MySpace.
Yeah.
So we'll have to set up a MySpace link on the BomberNation.com website. You know, if you go there, the front page is always up to date with the latest. So, the bomber races out at Pahrump, the schedules, and also out at the LVMS. So. What are you laughing at? What's up, Justin? You can tell us.
I have no comment. You're going to hell.
Oh, man. So, you guys are speaking of Pahrump. You guys are racing this weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
I'm excited.
And you may get a chance to race.
I'm excited.
You may get a chance to race on the track this weekend.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I think we figured some shit out with the 81.
Wow.
It's
cool.
A completely different car.
Man, you and that foul mouth. Who you been on the truckers or what? Well, you've been hanging out with this week.
One of those days.
You've been working with JC Motorsport? Well, I'm sorry. I've never heard of that before. That's why I stopped myself. I've never heard of that before.
We figured some bugs out.
Cool. It's good to get some bugs out.
And I last week the car wouldn't beat itself across the road, and I did a burnout up the street. So.
Oh, sweet. That's always good. Until you get it on the trailer.
Yeah, we got it on the trailer.
Until you get it to the track.
Yeah, to the track. Yeah.
We got a couple little nicks and crannies.
Paint a little
fill in.
Cross on it. Here's what I figured out what the problem is.
Throw some water at
with
it.
With which car?
With any car.
Don't put the purple
any,
car.
Any car that JJ puts a signature on has been demonized.
I can put for that.
Yes.
He signed it the night my 42 went kaboom.
Yep. And Mikey wrecked one night when the JJ signed his car. With a total, luckily, knock on wood.
That
like yours.
That was something Rob Street focused on. He got a picture of me spinning out, Mikey spinning out, and Arlie spinning out the exact same night.
It's called synchronized spinning with JC Motorsports.
That was our team motto, just spin it. Every time you're going really slow, just spin the car. They'll throw a caution for you.
I did that out at Trump. I was like, what the hell? I might as well spin it.
I get my excitement in.
Might as well race myself. Hey,
I think it has to do with that car, because Arlie spun out last race too.
Yeah,
Arlie was pushing it. He was pushing it.
He got
door to door with Gary and got a little excited.
Yeah, he probably overdrove a little.
You mean a little overexcited?
Yeah.
But somebody else put a big donut on his door. Some bullying in the 65 car.
Bully. Yeah, bullies. Track bullies.
But I'm excited. I'm ready to go this
cool.
weekend.
That's good.
I haven't been excited for a race in a long time.
That's good to hear.
Maybe my last race in my life, but
I didn't have to say it.
I seen the look in your eyes. I can read your mind in it.
I was trying to think of how to get in there to say something, but I didn't have to. You did it for me. So, well, cool. That's good.
As the time winds down.
Yeah. I hope you do get to race. That should be good to see you out there. You think?
No, he's going to be standing on the fence with the rest of the dads watching two kids go around, not just one.
That's true. Yeah, you might as well start now.
I'm okay with that. I'd still be involved.
Better get some bandolero.
I better get a better job.
Tips from Rob Street.
That's right. Hey, maybe Rob Street. Maybe those two kids can talk to Rob Street when they get old enough to talk about some tips about driving a bandolero.
Yeah.
Why are you so mean to Rob?
Damn.
I might cuss a lot, but you're mean. Big bully.
Where's it mean?
Why you got to bully the little kid?
Now you can say that because you're probably twice his size, double.
Why does it mean for Rob to give tips of driving a bandolero?
He's experienced.
He's been there once or twice.
Has he mentioned that he's going to do that again at all? Or
I believe when he was on the show, he said.
Yeah, I think he said he was going to go jump in another one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did say that, but no word on when.
No word on when.
Yeah. Unfortunately for
Rob.
They
got to move the seat, and they got to move the pedals and everything to feel.
Usually it's like for the bigger people, they got to move forward. That's messed up. You guys are mean. Yeah, unfortunate for Rob. See, most of the bandolero drivers outgrow the car. All right, I'll stop there.
Poor Rob,
I know.
Poor Rob.
Just Justin busting your balls.
That's
all.
It.
It's Justin's
on
balls.
That note, back to prom.
Yes.
The challenge is still out there.
What's the schedule? Is it an evening race?
Yes.
Usual? All evening races until
all the way until November 3rd, I believe.
The challenge is still out. Any Vegas fun?
What is that challenge again? Just to make it clear, so
come out to prom. If you beat the 65, I will wash your car.
How about since you're going to be racing,
and you don't wreck them?
How about since you're racing too, you throw something in there if they beat you?
I don't want to do that until I know the car's ready. Let me finish one race this year before I talk any shit about myself.
Well, I guess so. Speaking of that, this will be the first. You think possibly the full.
Because
you were able to race before, but it wasn't. Yeah. There were shifter issues or something.
There were some issues with the car, so.
It's a 7 p.m. show all the way until November 3rd.
November 3rd, okay.
And then it's a 3 p.m., and then the last race in Pahrump is November 17th at 3 p.m.
That's my mom's birthday.
How old is she going to be?
We're not going there. She listens to the show.
Yeah.
I'm not stupid. So that's
so send presents November 17th. Put it in your calendar.
She'll be at Pump Valley Speedway.
You know, that's something about Facebook, though. People don't have to remember anybody's birthday anymore.
Exactly.
It just pops up, right?
I get notifications all the time. There. Arlie's birthday was the other day.
Was it? I don't have. It didn't pop up in your Facebook?
Nope.
Oh, come on.
I believe it was the other day. Not too long ago.
Nope. I believe today is Four's birthday.
Who?
Four.
Arlie.
Oh.
Arlie Junior.
Junior. Is that like
Junior.
They're all Arlies.
Because Arlie.
My son Arlie and my other son Arlie.
Arlie that races the 10 car. He's Arlie Junior.
Mm-hmm.
And then three is Arlie three.
Three.
And then his kid
is
four.
I believe he's 7 years old today, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that on Facebook. I didn't. It was
happy birthday to everybody that's having a birthday today.
We covered everybody.
We covered everybody.
If he was in the last week, happy birthday.
Yes, exactly. Until next Tuesday, happy birthday.
Yeah.
So what time is it? What do we got here? Let me look at my phone. Do you want to do a break at all? Or
sure, we can go to a...
We'll throw a break in there. We'll see you here after the break.
This is Aaron McMorrin, driver of the number 22 Lucas Oil Modified, and you're listening to OnWheelsNow.com.
This is Cindy Clark, driver of the number 12 skid plate car, and you're listening to On Wheels Now.
This is Rob Street from Rob Street Racing Photography, and you're listening to On Wheels Now.
I'm Phil Goodwin, and you're listening to OnWheelsNow.com. See you at the races.
Pahrump Valley Speedway. Where? I said Pahrump Valley Speedway, your local dirt track. Take the kids or just get out of town for a night of exciting dirt track action. This quarter mile diamond in the desert is just over the hump in Pahrump, the place to be on Saturday night with mini stocks, IMCA mods, cam coupe, and more. There's something for everybody, including the bomber. You can find out more at PahrumpValleySpeedway.com.
BomberNation.com is your website for all the latest local racing news. If you are a race car owner, a driver, or a passionate fan of racing, the BomberNation.com is the site you'll want to add to your favorites list. Check out the message board, track schedules, special events, links, and our sponsors. The Bomber Nation, one sport under one nation. TheBomberNation.com.
Gentlemen!
The sound of On Wheels Now, every Tuesday at 6 p.m.
If you like cars,
the smell of gasoline and rubber,
or just love motorsports and auto racing,
On Wheels Now is your inside look at local motorsports.
So don't miss the action.
We'll keep you in the loop with the latest local racing news.
We're race car drivers too, so join me, Michael.
And Mike, Tuesday at 6 p.m. Find us at OnWheelsNow.com.
Nevada Pick Apart.
Who?
Nevada Pick Apart. Do you have a used car or a truck just sitting in the driveway taking up space, looking ugly and tired of looking at it? Are you moving and can't take your car or truck with you? Did you buy a new car or truck and want to get rid of the old one? Contact Nevada Pick Apart, 702-644-1881. That's 702-644-1881. Sell Nevada Pick Apart your used or old vehicle and see it gone tomorrow.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Welcome back to On Wheels Now. This is the Racers Roundtable, where racers, race fans, and race officials can get together and talk about local racing. That's what we like to do here. If you don't want to talk about us or you, we will talk about you.
I'm pretty good at that.
So what's the latest going around, Justin? You're the gossip guy. There you go. He's the gossip guy. You know, we got the gossip girl all the time. You're the gossip guy.
I believe.
So what's
on a side note? How about those Golden Knights?
How about them Golden Knights?
Going to the Stanley Cup.
Who? What are we talking about? Is this racing?
Basketball.
Basketball. Okay.
No.
The Golden Knights basketball team.
Yes. No.
How are they doing?
Yeah. It's hard. Like I tell everybody, it's hard to get behind the Golden Knights. I know I'm born and raised here, but.
Well, the thing is,
I've been a diehard Sabres fan my whole life.
Nobody says you can't still be your.
And
you know,
no doubt.
What's nice about Vegas is you do have such a hodgepodge of different areas that people are from. So you still have your usual fan base, you know, that you've grown up with.
I know a lot of friends on, you know, Facebook talk about it all the time, and they're like, oh, we were diehard Sabres fans until we got our own team. I'm like, you can't just throw away, in my case, like 25 years of being a diehard Sabres fan, crying and jumping to joy over this team, just like Gary with the Kings. Gary will never turn his back on the Kings. That will always be his number one team.
I'm a Kings fan.
Right.
But I will support the Golden Knights.
Well, still,
yeah, I've watched they're not playing the Kings.
Right. I will support the Golden Knights 80 out of 82 games. The two games they play the Sabres, they're my enemy at that point.
So, obviously, all the teams are a mix like any other sport. Are there any Sabres players or Kings players ended up on the Knights at all? Or?
Every team lost one player to the Knights.
Was that part of the deal?
That was the expansion draft.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't know that. That's good to know.
Every team lost one player. The Kings lost Braden McNabb, and the Sabres lost William Carrier.
So how did that go about? Do you know?
You were only allowed to protect like 9 players from each team.
Who made
team.
The choice of who got pulled off the team?
Well, no. It was just the owners from each team knew they could protect. It was like 9 or 10.
So they protect their best players, obviously,
yeah,
and then let the next.
And there was also guys that were in big contracts that they were not. Mm-hmm. They were protected no matter what.
Some of them guys have a no trade clause in their, you know,
like
those
for Buffalo,
some of the best players.
Like for Buffalo, Jack Etchell was untouchable. Even if they didn't protect him, he was untouchable. But like the Golden Knights got Marc-Andre Fleury, who their goaltender, and he's bound to be
what
the
team is he from?
The Pittsburgh Penguins. He's bound to be the MVP this year. He's just been on fire.
He originally started here in Vegas for the Thunder.
Oh,
he was
a
goalie for
the
Thunder.
That's cool to know. I didn't know
as long as
and that was Thunder before. Didn't they have
the Wranglers?
The Wranglers. Yeah.
Derek,
so that was a while
ago. Derek England, who now plays for the Knights, started in the ECHL with the Las Vegas Wranglers.
Oh.
And now he's one of the assistant captains.
You think
for some
of that, the way they set it up has something to do with how well they're doing? Because those got to be some of the better players,
I mean,
I would think.
They definitely got, in my eyes, they definitely got some of the best. Like Marc-Andre Fleury, James Neal, all them guys.
But did anybody think they were that good?
No,
because
the odds were still insane. Yeah. The odds were like 500 to 1.
Oh, wow.
Still, even though
we should have all bet way back in the day.
I do know a couple people who did put big bets that they would win the Stanley Cup. And I was like, they're probably sweating bullets right now knowing they're going to the Cup. They don't know who they're playing yet, but it's
close.
They got
to
win 4 more games and they win the Cup.
Well, because the two, who is the Washington?
The Washington Capitals and the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Okay, that's what it is.
Are who's playing in the Eastern Conference.
And they're
right
tied right now, 3-3.
Oh, wow.
So the next game
they play tomorrow
determine
night.
Who,
so that would determine who plays
Vegas.
So Vegas is kind of just waiting around to see which one.
Either way,
and
they
that's
start
it.
Monday.
And that's the play. That's the last two to determine.
Yeah,
wow.
And the same series, best of 4-7.
You have to win 4.
How does the home game, away game.
If Vegas plays the Capitals, they get games 1 and game 2 here, and then 3 and 4 will be in Washington, and then 5 will be here, 6 will be in Washington, 7 will be here, if it goes that far.
Huh.
And then if they play Tampa Bay, it's Tampa has the home ice advantage for the first 2 games they have at home ice.
So knowing the teams that they're going to be playing against, either one of those two teams, what do you think they're up against?
Washington is hungry. They haven't been to the finals in 19 years, and the Lightning were the Lightning were just there 5 or 6 years ago.
Hmm.
If that,
it's going to be
tough no matter.
Well, you know what?
The Knights have been playing great,
right?
But it's going to be a better series than the Knights have been playing, and they've been playing great series.
I mean, this
series
isn't a shot at Gary, but they made the Kings look. You know, the Kings put up a good fight.
And they're a top
team.
Obviously, teams have been to the playoffs.
The Kings definitely put up a hell of a fight, but Vegas still swept them four games straight. And then they went and played San Jose took 2 games from them.
Right.
And then, of course, Vegas won 4. And then Winnipeg, who they just finished the series with, they lost the first game of the series and never looked back from there and won four straight. So Vegas is definitely strong. But
you would think, like, Winnipeg is, you know, a Canadian sport. It's his hockey, right? So but doing that well is pretty amazing. But
It's hard not to kind of support them. I mean, no doubt I'm happy they're there, but it would be a lot different if my Sabres were there. I think I'd be way more into it.
Yeah, as far as for the community, whether
a
lot of people have their own team supports, you know, from like the Kings or elsewhere like yourself, you see a lot of community behind the Golden Knights, which is huge.
I went to the store. When was the last game? Was it
2 nights ago?
Sunday? I went to get breakfast Sunday morning at the grocery store, and there was so many Golden Knights shirts and jackets and hats and everything walking through.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, half the people weren't even hockey fans before this year.
Right.
And this is all they've known was the Golden Knights now.
That's
like Sean. Sean never was big into hockey, and he still gets
He's proud to say
Well, you know what,
that's
good thing, because that's what a new team like that is needs guys like that. New to the sport with a new team and new town. He just moved here not that long ago.
Sean was down in California a few weeks ago, and he come back and he told me he's seen more Golden Knights hats and shirts in a bar than any other team.
In Southern California.
When they played Winnipeg, in Winnipeg, there was a lot of Golden Knights jerseys in the crowd. If you actually looked during the national anthem, one of the lines it says Knights in the national anthem.
Oh, no way.
And you hear the crowd yell Knights. And it's a Vegas thing that they started here at T-Mobile, but you hear it at certain arenas now. And of course, people are going to follow, you know, the team. And, you know, I have family back in Buffalo. I would have loved to went back to Buffalo to see a game. So.
Right. Well, that's crazy. That's pretty cool.
You always get the, you know, you always get the fans that are so diehard they have to follow the team.
You know, when I first
heard, and I still say next year we're going to go to a game.
I don't know. And you're not the only person to say that, obviously, but some other people said, man, you got to go to a game. It's the, you know, blah blah blah. I was like, well, you know, same thing I told you. I just don't know the game. So
my uncle is a huge sports fan. He loves baseball, hockey, or baseball, football. Soccer, all that, never watched hockey. We took him to the Chicago Blackhawks versus Golden Knight game. And it was just, when you're there and you see it live, it's a lot faster than you see it on TV. On TV, it's kind of boring. It's just like NASCAR. NASCAR is so different when you're sitting there live and you hear everything and you see everything.
Well, kind of, it seems like the opposite. So when you're at the track, it seems more boring to me than it is if you're sitting at home.
See, I like it.
Because you don't see all the little things.
I like
it way better.
At the track.
I mean, like Saturday we watched the All-Star race on TV, and no doubt I still get excited because I love racing, but it is different when you're there and you're not listening to the announcers talk about, oh, this guy's in the lead and he's still in the lead. And
no, that's
you
true.
See the whole thing. You see them fighting for dead last, you know, guys like Derek Cope and everything that are fighting for dead last because they have no sponsors whatsoever and they're running 38th. But guess what? They're still battling with somebody.
On televised scale, I like to see more of that. You know, hey, give some of the guys that don't get, you know, the TV recognition, give them a chance to get some, because that will help them get sponsorships, better sponsorships, and so on. So.
Just like Matt DiBenedetto. I don't know if you really follow NASCAR this year, the 32 car. He was unsponsored, and he had some little sponsors, but they were so tight on money. Other drivers actually donated money to him.
So he could make that, was it the Phoenix race?
Yeah,
one
of
those.
It was.
Yeah.
And that was like, you kind of like, look, whoa. And he's always done really good. And a lot of people know him because Bristol last year, he finished like fifth and he was crying on pit lane after the race when he was being interviewed. Because that was the best he'd ever finished.
Yeah, in a
top
level
tier. And a lot of fans flock to him, and he's big on social media, and he makes his fans known, and he's on Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, all that, and he really makes his fans welcome. So
how do you think, like, the let's say the a comparison with the Golden Knights, not just being a new team, but hockey in general. I was surprised at how much of a following it gained
through the year.
What is NASCAR missing that maybe hockey is bringing to the table?
Well, here's another take on the Golden Knights. There are teams out there that's been in the NHL for years and years and years, and they haven't made it as far as the Knights are.
Right.
So,
I mean, I think a lot of fans.
The beginner's luck.
I think a lot of fans looked at them when they first came and they weren't really paying attention. I realized as the year went on, the fan base got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Everybody loves a winner. If they were not to put the Rebels down, but you know when the Rebels are doing well, they have large fan base.
Oh,
when they're not, people hate them.
Yeah.
You know?
UNLV basketball. I know Aaron McMorrin is a huge UNLV fan, and he goes to a lot of games, and he really follows them, win or lose. And I know other guys that are just like, oh, when they're winning, they're going to March Madness in basketball. Everybody's a huge fan, and they're at the game. But I was like, where's the support for the football team?
Right.
No, they're not the greatest, but guess what? They're still out there doing what they love.
Exactly. You know, when they do. And they have done it in the past when they do well or get a good stretch, then the fan base starts building, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But
I mean, I went to UNLV games that I felt like I was the only person in the stadium, and then I went to UNLV games where it's whoa.
Do you think
a lot of people here.
Obviously we're getting the Raiders football team. Do you think the following is going to be similar as the Golden Knights?
Football's a lot.
And this is something that the flip side for you, Gary, is you don't get into football at all.
Nope.
Football.
But I hear the same thing. I've never been to a game, but Mike's been there and stuff, and you guys have been to live football games. I mean, it's still an exciting experience.
No doubt about it. I mean, I love football in general. I can watch football 7 days a week.
Right.
But, again, I'll never turn my back on my Buffalo Bills, no matter how bad they suck.
And the same thing, I like football. I like watching it. Could I understand it more than obviously than?
Yeah, like I said, we'll go to a game.
Been to a professional football game, so I'll do both with you guys.
Yeah, we'll go to a hockey game where you can understand the sport, and you might get into it because you'll understand it.
And it's a lot. Yeah, you get the action, the noise, the sound, everything up close.
We only got a couple more minutes. Let's switch gears here.
Okay.
Let's not forget June 2nd at the Bull Ring at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. The late model truck series trucks are coming.
Exactly. Schedule should be coming out soon. We'll be talking about it more next Tuesday also, but keep posted to your emails. Schedules will be out, stuff like that. It should be a great night of racing. It's a kickoff. So we're going to see that series grow as the season continues.
And if nobody's sure what's going on with it, they can go on my Facebook. Gary Wyatt or Justin's with I have a Ford emblem on mine, just so you know. And Justin Justin put up a nice article about the late model truck series for us.
And of course other divisions racing that night also. The normal NASCAR divisions at LVML,
Super Late, Bombers.
Actually there's a ton of racing that night.
Modifieds will be there.
Legend, Bandoleros, and skid plate cars.
Should be a fun night of racing. Keep an eye on the schedule. Also, you can go to the BomberNation.com website. Look on the front page. It'll be there also. So, Justin, you plan on racing this weekend out at Pahrump Valley Speedway. Of course, you can go to PahrumpValleySpeedway.com. Check out the schedule there. You plan on, if this goes well, to race the rest of the season out there, think?
Yes, most definitely.
You're not in it for points now, obviously.
I already missed five or six races. So
and, of course,
I'm
there's always
out of that, but
some Vegas stuff coming up, too. That's the nice thing about the Bombers. You can run them on the dirt. You can run them on the asphalt. You don't have to change anything.
I'm busy June 2nd, though.
Cool.
I'll be racing.
That's a good thing. Anyways, we're out of time again. Live at onwheelsnow.com.
We'll talk tomorrow about the late model truck series as well.
And go to the race this weekend. Come bring your bomber out to Crum. Be out there this weekend.
Thanks for listening.